Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this lovely, cool morning in November. We have 2 days before the big day of Thanksgiving. I pray everybody is going to have a great and wonderful day. There will not be a blog on Thanksgiving. Day. Yet, I don't know. God may change my mind on tomorrow because that's a blessing. It is not a God thing. So I'm just saying that I'm not thinking I'm going to have a show on Thursday because I have to work Thanksgiving morning. So keep a girl in prayer. But this morning, God woke me up very, 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 very early this morning with this word, and I know that it's our own time right now word, and it says, but judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, can we say right now, how many times have we seen people just have no mercy at all? They want to get somebody, and I don't care. I'm going to get them, and I don't care if I ruin them. I don't care if I take everything they have. I don't care if I ground them into the dirt. I don't care. I don't think they need to. Why are they even in this church? They smell. They don't look right. Their hair is not combed. They don't smell right. They don't need to be here. Oh, my God, he has a hat on. We need to tell him to take that hat off. You're in the house of God. Take your hat off. Did you ever stop to think maybe they got a self-conscious issue and that hat is their shield for right now? Leave them alone. Leave them alone. We know that there's church etiquette, and it says that you don't wear a hat in church if you are a man and da-da-da. Leave them alone. You may be the last, that may be the last time you see them in the house of God because you couldn't keep your tongue behind your teeth because you had to show your authority. I have authority. I'm a deacon. I'm a this. I'm a that. You don't know people's story. And you don't know that they may need God. And they may have put that hat on to get in the door. We have to be very careful how we treat our neighbors, how we treat each other, how we act toward our fellow man, because we don't know their story. So we just give God all of us and watch him work in our life. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning. Humble hearts, minds, and souls. Asking you, Lord God, to lead us, to guide us, to show us the way towards you. Spending time with you. Loving you. And knowing that you, God, are the author and the finisher of our faith. That you give us love, that you give us all of you, God. So, Father God, as I lift up this word to this morning, asking you, Father God, it's always increase as we decrease, God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And, Lord, we are praying this morning for those that are traveling the highways and the byways, going to spend time with family over this Thanksgiving week, flying in from out of town, taking trains, taking planes. As the movie was Train, Planes, and Automobiles. Lord, they're taking every way to get to Grandma's house, to get to that family, to be there, to know that they are loved and that they are missed. So, Father, we ask traveling grace and mercies over the highways today and the skyways, the trainways. Tailways, God. Take care of your people. Watch over them and give them strength. And Lord, we ask you to remove the spirits of offense over this Thanksgiving season. Remove those spirits that want people all mad at each other on this beautiful time. We ask you, Lord God, to remove those spirits, to replace them with love and grace and mercy that only comes from you, God. In the name of Christ Jesus, we lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for another day, Mother.
Amen.
Another day to give him honor. Another day to give him glory. Another day to give him praise. You know, I was out and about yesterday and saw a herd of deer on a hill, and it was just, and right in the middle of the herd was the buck, and he was standing there, majestic, as if to say, this is my family. This is my family. And I am in charge. I got to watch over them. I got to take care of them because they belong to me.
Amen.
And I just thought, how beautiful. You know, and I said, you know what? You are in charge, mister. You know, you are the daddy of this crew. And, you know, I had to take a picture of him just by himself because he was standing as if he was posing for the pictures, if to say, yeah, go on and take my picture, ladies, because I know I look good.
And send it to me.
I look good. And I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I said, this buck knows he is in charge of this crew. But, you know, he just stood in majesty. But I just thought it was so amazing that he stood there in the midst, you know, looking up as if to say, I got this. This is my family. This is my crew. These people belong to me. And it was like so many does out there, so many that it was like, wow. It was like deer came out of the woodwork on yesterday. I go to the nature preserve just to drive around and look at the deer. And I laugh. I said, I'm going to have to do a book, my deer book on iPhone. Because I try to take pictures every time I go just because I love the fact that they hide in the woods. And because of the color of their coat, they blend in with the trees. So you really, there are times that they're there looking at you, but you can't see them because they're so blended in with their environment. And the Lord, I believe, wants us to blend in our environment as men and women of God. We want to be a part of that great God. We want to be a part of what he's doing. We want to be watchmen on the wall. We want to see what God has planned. But God
Amen.
Is telling us to have mercy on others, to not walk around with our heads in the air like we just don't care, as the kids used to say. Hands in the air like you just don't care. But folks want to put their heads in the air. Yeah, folks, so arrogant. Well, I go to church. And I remember when I was out of that ark of safety, when I wasn't going to a church, I wasn't affiliated with a church, and I was one of those people. I refused to go to church on Mother's Day, Christmas, and Easter if I wasn't in church. because I felt like that was a slap in the face of God. You know,
Amen.
I was not going to be a CME, that I was going to be in all in, or I would come, but I wouldn't come for those holidays. Because I just thought it was hypocritical. You know, you don't bring your kids to church at Christmas to get a speech, but you don't bring your kids to church all year round. I didn't think that was right. And so I didn't go. But it didn't mean I didn't know God. It didn't mean that I wasn't a Christian. It didn't mean that I wasn't saved and set free to deal with the Holy Spirit. I just didn't go to church. So I was not in the crew. I wasn't in the ark of safety. I just say it. Which left open the wiles of the enemy. And so with all kind of stuff. You know you don't need to go back to church. You know it's full of hypocrites. You know you can do everything they can do right here at your house. You don't need to go for that. You don't need to do that. You know, and I'm listening to that. But the one thing that would irk me as I would be contemplating going back to church would be that person who went to church so high and mighty and hateful and judging and no mercy on anybody. Didn't care what they said and how they said it and how they treated that fellow man. And I would watch. And I would pray. And then it would be, well, you don't go to church. And I'm like, no. Well, I know you're a Christian. I could just see how you're a Christian, how you act, how you treat people, that you're a Christian. I said, I am a Christian. And I love God with all my heart. But I just don't go to church at this time.
Amen.
I always left the door open at this time. And then things, these folks want to look down on me. Those are the ones that don't know you're a Christian. All they know is you don't go to church. So they want to treat you bad. So we have to be very careful how we are perceived as people of God. We have to treat people with mercy. Jesus said in his word, with love and kindness to each other. We
Amen.
Draw them with love and kindness, not judgment without mercy. But the word again says for our title this morning, but judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. How you treat others is you will have to stand before God and give an accounting. And the question is, how do you tell God, I thought I was you, that I could judge, that I could put down, that I could vilify, that I could make feel bad about myself, because I thought it was my job to judge. So as we get into our word this morning, that's just something to think about. This
Amen.
Morning in Ezekiel, we'll be in Ezekiel chapter 31. Chapter 33-34. We will be in Proverbs, I'm sorry, 130th Psalm, verses 5-8. Proverbs 29:1. And James chapter 2, which is where our title is coming from this morning. So get the Bible, because this is first and foremost Bible study. And our job and our assignment for moving forward is to move forward in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And that is my assignment. That is our assignment. That is what we're going to do. I can do nothing more than thank God every day for the tingle he gives me in my hand to say, okay, child, it's time to go to work. And all I can say is, yes, Lord, I'm getting up Because this morning I was trying my best. I was sleeping in. It was my day off. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to stay here for just a few more minutes. That tingle came in my hand and say, get up. And I'm like, I'm getting up, Lord. I'm getting up. And so I'm grateful that I listened to the tingle, which is the voice of God for me. So please join me in Ezekiel chapter 33. And the word of God says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and goes not and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So if you see somebody sinning and doing wrong and you don't open your mouth, you will take that sin. When you don't speak up, not judging speaking up, not without mercy speaking up, but with love and kindness speaking up, baby, that man is not for you. He just beat you up. He is abusive to you with words. He's abusive to you in action. You don't need that. But pray. You pray for them. You pray with them. And you ask God to guide them. We've got to be watchmen on the wall for those in the house of God. And it says, so you, son, a man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked man from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, find a way in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say the way of the Lord is not fair. But it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from the righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. I will judge every one of you according to his own way. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, on the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before. The man came who had escaped, and he had opened my mouth. So when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was open, and I was no longer mute. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel, saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land. But we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Wow. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like a today word? And I said again, now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before. The man came who had escaped. Remember, Ezekiel was mute at one point. And he had opened my mouth. So when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was open and I was no longer mute. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying Abraham was only one and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood. You lift up your eyes towards God. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruin shall fall by the sword. And the one who is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured. And those who are in their strongholds and caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate. Her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They step before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. How many pastors have felt this way? Folks, hearing their voice, talking about how much they want to hear the word, how much they love them, but then treat them when the time comes to celebrate them, they're not there. When the time comes to give a prophet a prophet's reward, they're not there. When it comes time to just say, can I get you a meal? They're not there. But yet, when the prophet is giving away something, all in, hands out, mouths on their face, talking about how much they love you. But when you don't have nowhere to be seen, just like the young and foolish rich man who went out with all his inheritance, had friends for days, but when he didn't have anything, all he had was a pig stock. And nobody of all these folks that he was all friends with came to even offer him a drink of water. And he had to go home to his dad. But his dad had mercy. His dad didn't judge him. His dad loved him in spite of himself. His older brother, on the other hand, couldn't forgive what he had taken money and wasting it on women and high life living. So we got to pray and we got to forgive. And it goes into chapter 34, and we'll go back to the life lessons of Ezekiel 33 and 34 after 34. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Yet eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Come on now. Talking to today, this word stepped out of time to today. And it tells us, it says, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds and will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the flock, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. Folks, teaching them lying words. Don't want to teach from the Bible. Don't open a Bible. Get up and talk all that prosperity nonsense and asking for jets and planes and trains and automobiles. I want a Lamborghini, and I need y'all to give $100 so I get it. I need a new plane to do the work of the Lord. But yeah, actually, the plane is only being used for vacations with your family. But you need the money from the congregation. If all of you give $100. If you and stretch, give $1,000 if you can. Not for the betterment of the church, not to keep the lights on, not to keep the water on, not to keep the windows clean, not to keep luxury items, luxury this, luxury that. And let me write this book that only talks about I and what I can get from God, not what I can do for God. And then we want to complain when it comes out that you were having an affair on your wife. It comes out that as you were speaking about the LGBTQ community, you were down low and in it. Come on now. As you were talking about teen pregnancy, you were messing around with one of the teenagers in your church. We better stop and understand God will hold shepherds accountable. As we spoke earlier, the blood of the innocent will be on those who do not preach the word. If you don't tell a person you're being wicked and they go to hell, it's on you. And if you're being wicked, taking your congregation to damnation with lies, you will be held accountable. My pastor speaks on it all the time. She said, I'm going to tell you the truth because I will be held accountable. I don't want my pastor going to hell because I'm not doing right. We want to know what we do wrong. We got to get it right. We got to get right with God. We got to lift up, not tear down. But understand we will be held accountable when you stand in a pulpit and lie to God's people. Proper lying. But God told me this. God ain't told you anything. You got to stop it. Putting the word of God on stuff that's wrong. What God said. God ain't said that. We don't know what God said. But I know one thing. God ain't told you to lie to his people. But Father lies might have. And we know who that is. Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their food shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up, strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture and to have drunk of the clear waters that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. We are the flock of God. He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. We got to trust God that he will always be there. He will take us through. He will take us through. He will prepare a table in the presence of our enemy. He is God, and he loves us like that. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 11, Dr. Stanley gives us this life lesson. And the word says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God does not want to judge anyone. He pleads with us to turn from our wicked ways and to return to him with all our heart, all our soul. God will never reject anyone with a truly repentant heart. God is not going to reject us. If our heart is repentant, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me the way. Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. Help me. We got to pray that. We got to believe that it can and will happen. We got to trust in the Lord. Ezekiel 33 and 32, they hear your words, but they do not do them. The New Testament tells us that King Herod feared John the Baptist and hired him gladly. Mark 6 and 20, until he killed him. Many people have their favorite teacher, favorite preacher. The point I have is not merely hearing, but doing. James 1 and 22, we read that on yesterday. Ezekiel 34 and 31, you are my flock, and I am your God, says the Lord. In both Testaments, God calls his people his flock. Why? For one thing, it's a term of enjoyment and a picture of close personal connection. For another, it reveals our total dependence upon him. Third, it honors him as our guide. The Lord does what he does with us for our benefit. He sees us what he knows will give us help. He makes us lie down when we would rather keep moving. He is the God. He is the good and great shepherd. John 3 and 11 and 14. He is the good and great shepherd. He is our Father God. And he wants to guide and lead us. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you this morning. As you talk about this week of thanksgiving, tell the Lord thank you. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. 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 I'm going to start with Psalms 135 and 8. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Proverbs 29 and 1. He who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. James 2 and 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there shall also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. Say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves? Become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you, drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to scriptures, you have loved your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. But he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you're broken a transgressor of the law. So speak, and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's our title. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith, does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. So you have to be careful saying to somebody, do well, and they don't have anything, and you don't try to help them. You're supposed to try to help them. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, as you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, my father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Boy, everybody wants to be a friend of God, or everybody should want to be a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You have to have works with your faith. I'm going to read Life Lessons, Psalms 135. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and his word I do hope. God does not spring into action on our timetable. In fact, he often waits to the very last minute to intervene. Why? Waiting is God's training ground for building strong faith. As we wait, we learn to trust. We learn to trust God when we wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Lean on him. Wait. I say wait. Wait on the Lord. Life lesson, James 2 and 5. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom? Earthly riches do not equal spiritually wealth any more than economic destitution indicates spiritual poverty. Those who love God, regardless of their earthly financial position, are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Life Lessons, James 2:10, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James means that all sin is a violation of God's holy character, and therefore you oppose not only his commandment, but him. James 2:18, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my words. James has no quarrel with faith. He understands that faith alone can't save someone. What he opposes is a phony faith, the kind that supposedly exists without giving any practical confirmation of his existence. Belief in God is not the same as faith in God. Demons believe that God exists. They also believe that Christ rose from the grave, but they do not willingly submit to his will or equally put their destiny in his hands. So faith without works is dead. You have to have works with faith. Answer to life's questions. How can I enrich my time alone with God? Have you ever sat down in a quiet place with your Bible, ready to have a devotion time with the Lord, but you felt aimless? Maybe you flip through the pages and finally settle on a psalm, but then you remember another form, and so you said a quick prayer, tell yourself you would pray more later, but it never happened. You're not alone if you feel frustrated with the quality of your quiet time. As much as you may desire real intimacy with your personal Savior, however, remember that he longs for it even more. James 4 and 8 promise, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. It helps many people to get some direction on how to develop a close walk with Christ. Specific goals can help you to focus on his word daily. First, select a plan that fits your lifestyle and level of understanding. Remember, spending time with God will also never just fit in your daily routine. You must schedule and then jealously guard your time with God. The more you honor that appointment, the greater you will desire to protect it and the greater your enrichment. Have you ever run across a puzzling words or passage, instead of waiting later to consider the issue, sit down with it. A Bible dictionary and concordance or other study aids. You may not resolve your question completely, but seeking his truth on your own can spur amazing growth. Maybe you cannot afford to purchase your own Bible study tools. Never give up. Seek other options. A lot of good Bible reference materials available free on the internet. Some churches have libraries where you can borrow what you need, as do selected public libraries. Ask your pastor or church associate if you have materials they may use. Most people find the body of Christ eager to help in this pursuit. As you read the Bible, have a notebook and pen ready to write a spiritual journal. Some people record their daily prayers, leaving a space to describe how God answered them. You may prefer a format in which you write down a special verse, describe it, why it impacted you. If you have kept a journal, before you know what a treat it is to see a reminder of your spiritual journey. Are you ready for a relationship with Jesus that knows no boundaries? Then open your time, your life, your heart, and expect the Lord to get involved. God will get involved with you if you want him to be involved with you. Set a time where you go into your prayer closet. If it's an hour or if it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, spend time with the Lord. And the way you spend time with the Lord, spend time in his word. That's the only way to grow. It's to spend time with God in his word. And you can do that daily, or you can do it however you decide to do it. But make sure that you do it. That's what they're saying. Set time alone that you will spend with God and be faithful enough to do it. Okay, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Good morning again. What a word. Are we spending some time with God? Are we taking a minute to just take a deep breath and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. You know, as I was listening to Mother and James, you know, one of the things in my other study Bible says this is this. Why are we judged as we judge others? James 2 and 13 says, because we reap what we sow. Galatians 6 and 7. The mercy we receive indicates the mercy we've shown. Those who have tasted God's mercy will naturally be more forgiving toward others. Those who deal harshly with others demonstrate they have not truly experienced forgiveness. Life also seems to prove, as a general rule, the more merciful we are to others, the more we ourselves are treated with compassion. And that
Amen.
Is to say, thank you, God, for it. You know, and it talked about, Mother, as you stopped as an usher, you understand, you know, folks that are to the front and the one that's not smelling so good, leave them in the back. But one thing that I've always remembered is you never know who is the angel. And honestly, these two gentlemen came to the church. I remember, I believe it was before Pastor Paul passed, I believe. And they were African, I believe, and very tall. I just remember they were very tall. And I remember I was walking into the church, and they were walking by, and I said, and I invited them in. And they were like, they were coming in and opened the door for me. And I looked at them. I just kept looking at them. And then I realized as the praise team was going forth, one was standing in prayer, praise, and the other one was standing on the wall. And I kept looking and I kept feeling. And finally, I just looked at them. I said, are you guys angels? And they both just looked at me so weird. And they just smiled and they said, and they didn't say no. They didn't say yes. They just smiled.
Mm.
And I said, and I looked at them, I said, are we entertaining angels unaware? And they just looked at me as if to say, how do you know that? It was just this feeling of warmth when I walked past them coming in. And when I watched the one on the wall, it was as if he was watching everything. He was a watchman on the wall. And the other one, he was in praise with us to God. And I don't think the praise thing sang that good. You know, I think we sang like we had never sang before that Sunday. And I believe that was the Sunday that Sister Carolyn sang, bow down and worship him. And
my
it
Lord.
Was as if this one that was in the middle, he had his hands lifted up as if he was praising God with us. And I thought, I kept feeling in my spirit, are we entertaining angels unaware? I've never seen those two men again anywhere.
Wow.
In Springfield. It was the strangest thing. But, you know, like I said, we believe at our church that we do have angels that watch over it. I've been in the sound booth and in the church by myself and could have swore I heard fluttering of wings above the church. So I am not one to say what God can and God can't do. I know God can do so much. I've experienced them.
Amen.
I'm still here because of the goodness of God. And as we go into a prayer this morning, and then a word from our sister in Christ, it says, what better gift? The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11:2, NASB. It's an ever-present one. I can't begin to tell you how thankful I am that your Spirit is in me, the constant presence that brings comfort when no one else even knows that my heart is grieved, feels too good to be true. The wisdom I'm searching for is found in the one who is already dwelling with me. Every tool I need to know the Lord and every act on God's part in my life is done through fellowship with the Spirit. You are the light inside of me. Any compassion I have, I look for is found in you. A million thank yous for the way you are consistently with me, would not even scratch the surface of my true depth of gratitude. I am so grateful I get to do life with you. You are the best gift I could ever imagine. To ask for that, what beauty is found in companionship with you. How does walking with the Spirit enrich your life? Is a question to think on today. And as we go forth this morning, if there is anyone that God has put a word in your spirit, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And a word as we get ready to wrap up this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, it says, good morning. When God speaks to you, he does so from where you are, not where you are. Excuse me, where you are going, not where you are. Have a terrific Tuesday, and I want to read it one more time. When God speaks to you, he does so from where you are going, not where
Amen.
You are. Have a terrific Tuesday, family, and know that you are covered by the shepherd, the great shepherd, who is our Father God and who loves us more than we could ever imagine. He will go and get us. That's 99. Won't do for God. He wants to keep it 100. And you are in his family. So tell God thank you today. And I was just playing. We will be having a show on Thanksgiving morning. Even though I have to work, I'm not going to not take that day to tell God thank you. So there will be a Thanksgiving service, family. So don't take that. What she said it was. Yeah, it is. Because I'm going to be up, and I'm not going to start my day without spending my day with God and starting my day with God. I tell you, by starting your day with God, he will take you where you need to go to do what you need to do. Give God some hallelujah praise this morning and tell God thank you. Mother Valerie, guess what?
It's a wrap.
As we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Join us again tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. For God's Word will sustain you. God's Word will protect you. God's Word is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Stand on him. Stand on his Word. Let him cover you with his mighty and awesome blood as he went to the cross. That sacrificial lamb of God for me and for you. Keep trusting the Lord and watch him work in your life. All is well. Mother Valerie, all hearts clear, all minds clear, everybody ready to start their day. It's a wrap, y'all. I got to take another person to school. Have a great day, family. Join Mother Valerie and I again tomorrow. We love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. The love is back. The love got more. Take care. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.